Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa is here screening your calls. If you're listening to us online, you can join in on the call by picking up the phone and dialing 347-884-8327. There are still some lines open, but you might want to grab one of those quick. Once you are on the line, press 1 with a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be. Lisa will screen your calls, and we're going to get to those here in just a bit. Tonight, we are talking about oil analysis. We are being joined by my special guest, Tom Bach from OPS. And we're going to. If you have sample questions, if you've got an oil sample or you've had an oil sample in the past and you've got a question, tonight is a great time for that. If you've got any questions about oil or oil analysis or extended drains or any of those things, press 1 on your phone and jump in. And you know what? Let's just go ahead and get started. That number again, if you want to join us, 347-884-8327. And again, with me tonight, Tom Bach from OPS. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Hey, you know what I want to talk about a little bit tonight? I kind of want to go back to the basics and kind of start from scratch on why we would use a system like the EcoPure, what the benefits are, what the cost is initially, and then what the ongoing cost is, why we do it, where we can expect to see savings, what the return on investment is, some things like that. And one of the reasons is I was reading through some of the forums today on the website, and there was, I'll call it a debate on the different systems. And it just seems like you get into the argument of, well, this system does this, or this system filters down to 1 micron, or this system holds more, or this system has this feature. And I've said for a long time, I've used a lot of different filters. I've used them since 95. I've tried a couple different systems. And what it really comes down to is that most of them work. I mean, most of them are far better than not having a system on. And rather than argue the points of, you know, this one works better because it's got this, it really seems to me like the proof is in the oil analysis. I mean, that the reason I put the system on, whatever system it is that I want to keep my oil cleaner longer. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And we don't have to guess and we don't have to argue about which system does it. We have the oil analysis. I mean, it tells us whether our oil is clean or not. So I thought maybe we'd just go back to the basics on what the systems do, why we use them, and some cost, things like that.
Okay. Well, most of the systems that you see out there are basic bypass filtration systems. They're a filter. They filter with different types of media. There's anything from cotton media to cellulose, paper, you know, we use a microglass media, pleated microglass with our filter. Some of the filters out there will use an absorption process to absorb the water into it, kind of like a sponge. And usually you'll find those in the bigger systems, the ones that hold like 2 gallons of oil. The smaller ones, they would get saturated with the water too quickly, and the water would force itself back into the oil. You don't want that to happen, obviously, because it's the water that mixes with the sulfur and the heat that's in the oil to create the acid. So you want to keep the water out of the equation. With the OPS EcoPure system, what we do is we have a filter that's a microglass filter, specially designed not to trap the water. We want the water to go through the filter and then into the evaporator. And what the evaporator does, it evaporates out the water. It takes out the liquid from any antifreeze you may have, and it'll evaporate out the little bit of diesel fuel you get in the normal course of an operation. So by taking the water out of the system entirely, you eliminate the acid. Your base in the oil, the additive base in the oil, will last longer. You will also get less oxidation, less corrosion, less sludge, because it's the water that mixes with the grime and the oil and the soot that creates the sludge. And what happens with that sludge is as soon as you shut the engine off, any part that has a sludge attached to it, the water will evaporate off and leave you with a hard crystalline-type structure that will score a cylinder wall or score a bearing once the engine starts back up again. So with our system, we evaporate that right out. And with some of the larger filters or some of the other systems that are out there, you're forced to change the filter at a 10 to 15,000 mile interval only because of the saturation of the water into the filter. And of course, when you're changing 2 gallons of oil over a 10,000 mile period, over 40,000 miles, you put, you know, 8 gallons and you pretty much change the oil anyway.
Well, and there were some arguments about the bigger filters, the TBN stays higher longer, and that really comes back to the fact that you are changing that filter more often and you're putting so much more oil back into the system that the TBN has to stay higher. I mean, we're
correct.
Replenishing it constantly.
Well, the TBN has to stay higher if you're building acid anyway. If you're not building the acid up, then you don't have to worry about having that much of a base to be able to counteract it. And that's what the system does. So with our particular system, let's say you're using a 10-inch filter on the EcoPure, you can go, in most cases, 25,000 miles if you're running an over-the-road operation. You would take an oil sample, and then at 50,000 miles, you would do the same thing, change our filter, change the full-flow filters because you can double the life of those, and then take an oil sample. And every time that sample comes in, you get to look at it, and the lab looks at it and makes sure that the additive package is there, the base is there, the viscosity is correct to be able to protect your engine for the next 25,000.
And that's really what this comes down to. We're not guessing. We don't have to try to say, well, that one must be better because it does this, or this one is better because it does this. The absolute report on this that tells us that it's working is the oil analysis. We can look at it and see what's going on.
That's correct. Now, you know, with our system, you talked a little bit about the return on investment. A lot of people have a hard time understanding what that is. And basically, it's the gain you get from the investment that you made, less the cost of the investment over the cost of the investment. So let's take, for instance, a quick example of what I hear you all the time talking about rolling resistance and the difference in the cost of those tires and how much extra fuel you save would be a gain. So you take the gain, see how much fuel you save over a period of time compared to the other tires, and eventually you would have a return on that investment, maybe 15%, 20%, 30%, something in that range in most cases. But with the OPS EcoPure system, the cost is $685.50 for the startup kit, and that includes 3 filters, 2 sample kits, and 2 mailers. So you get $75,000 worth of consumables with that $685. So let's say you're going 15,000 miles now between oil changes. If you go 75,000 miles, you would have made 5 oil changes, okay? And in that 75,000 miles, those 5 oil changes are going to cost you let's see, how many gallons, 11 gallons each time? What do you pay for a decent gallon of oil today?
$15. I mean, if you know, if we go to the synthetics, it's certainly not unusual to be up into the 20s.
Okay, so let's just take $15. That's going to cost you $247.50 every time you change, every 15,000 miles. So over the course of the three systems you're going to get with the startup kit, that costs you $742.50. You've already gained $80 in 3 months in the 5 month period, or the 75,000 mile period. So your return on investment is actually, or your break even point is somewhere around three to four oil change cycles in most cases.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah,
it does. And that does make sense. And then you guys have put in a program that makes that return on investment or the break-even point actually a little quicker and the whole system a little easier, which is the ability to make it on payments.
Right. What we tried to do was make it so that the owner-operators, and we did this as a stimulus program last year, do not have to take anything out of their pocket. We charge their credit card $137.10 the day we ship it. And then the last business day of the next 4 months, we charge $137.10. So over a period of 5 months, you receive the charge to your credit card. Then you also have the time period that your credit card allows you to get the bill in and send it in. So you're talking six and a half months. If you change your oil five times in 6 months, you know, you're already $80 ahead, as I just showed you.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. That works out well. Now, that's the cost of the system, the install kit, the consumables. There's one more cost. What is a typical installation cost? I know that, you know, it's all over the board, and I know some people do their own.
Right.
Anybody who, you know, is fairly comfortable turning wrenches, it's not really that tough of an install. But if somebody wanted to kind of budget this, what should they think about for an install cost?
If you're charged 2 hours, that's probably the maximum it should be. It shouldn't be much more than 2 hours. So whatever your labor cost is for that particular facility, and we try to make that as easy as possible as well. We allow anyone who is going to install it to call one of our technicians. We put a business card in the box for them so they can pick up the phone, call the technician, and say, I'm putting it on a Cat C15, and, you know, where do I put it? What do I do? How do I do this? How do I do that? And we walk them right through it. We do put installation manuals in every kit, but I don't know anyone who's ever read it. So usually they call us up and say, what do I do with these 8 extra parts? You know, they're there so you have a selection. But if they pick up the phone, they get stuck somewhere, they can call in, and our guys will help walk them right through it. As a matter of fact, I heard this as a rumor that Lisa actually put one on. So, I mean, if she can do it, I'm pretty sure most guys can.
Hey, where was I?
I don't know. She said that you were in the bathroom at the time she put it on, I think.
Okay.
Well, I know you can get them installed quite a few places. I mean, Truck City installs them, and, you know, I don't know what you guys charge there, but it should be about 2 hours, I would think.
Yeah, usually not much more than that, especially now with the Echo Pure. It's even easier than the OPS one was.
Right, because it's only one piece. You have the filter on the bottom and the evaporator up on the top. So, and the wiring is a lot easier because it goes straight to the alternator.
Yeah, speaking of the difference between the two, that difference has been minimized some because you also released the new conversion head. What's that all about?
Right, what the conversion head does is it allows them to remove the original filter that had the canister and the cup to the bottom, and the insert filter. They can just unbolt the two lines, the inlet and the outlet line. Take the old one off. The new one head bolts up directly in the same place. You just put the two bolts back on, spin on, put the lines back to each side, put the spin on the new filter, and you're done. It takes about 15 minutes tops, and from that point on, you can use the different size filters. The restriction with the OPS-1 was that you had to do a filter change usually at about 15,000 miles because you only had a 6-inch filter in there. So now you can go to a 6-inch, 8-inch, or 10-inch filter, and the 10-inch filter you should be able to get between 25 and, in some instances, if you run a sleeper operation, you know, coast to coast, you can probably do 30.
Which is really nice. I mean, that's the whole point of this, you know, keeping the cost down. And now not only are we extending the drain intervals, but with the 10-inch filters, we're extending the filter change and sample intervals as well.
Correct. And we did that primarily so that different fleets have different PM schedules, and they didn't want to have to bring the truck in twice. So they can use a 8-inch filter if they're going to do 20,000, if they, the truck's going to go 25 between lubrication or whatever else happens to be done in the PM schedule, they can use the 10-inch filters or the 6-inch filter if they want to do it at 15. So they have flexibility there.
I like the 10-inch just to get as much life out of the filter as I can. And the spin-on is just really nice. I mean, I used to say before it was very simple to change a filter and take a sample, and now it's, you know, with the EcoPure, the conversion, it's even easier. It's clean. There's no mess. You spin off a filter, spin one on, take a sample, and you're done.
Right. So then after you have the system on, then what you do is you're going to buy the EcoPure filter 5-packs, which are going to give you 5 filters, 5 sample kits, 5 mailers, and the shipping and handling. And a 10-inch set is $320.50, 8-inch is $291.75, and a 6-inch is $284.25. And that gives you 125,000 if you're using the 10-inch. It'll give you 100,000 if you're using the 8-inch, and 75,000 to 80,000 if you're using the 6-inch.
And really, that becomes my cost, my oil change cost after that point, rather than spending the money on a full oil change. That's my cost now. That filter and the sample kit is pretty much what I'm paying at 25,000 miles.
Right, and that's your out-of-pocket cost. But then you got to look at what you're saving. I mean, you're saving your oil, you're saving your filter because you're using it every other time. You're also could be saving your engine because you're going to have an oil sample that's going to be able to help you diagnose something that's going wrong, and you can fix it before it becomes catastrophic.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and you know, I've been using the OPS for a long time and then other filter systems before that. And I played around with a couple after, and I used to really focus a lot on the cost, which is what we've been talking about tonight, the cost savings, because that was really my goal. How do I keep that cost down? But the more I've been getting involved with oil analysis, and the more, you know, we do shows like this, and people call in with their samples, and people email me samples, the more I'm finding out that that is just a really important part of this whole process. And one of the reasons to have this system is we have caught so many maintenance issues long before they become really expensive maintenance issues. The oil analysis to me is, I think for me now, becoming the most valuable part of this whole thing.
Well, look what it does for you in terms of a new engine. I mean, if you have a new engine and you got your warranty for the first, 500,000 miles, if you see something go wrong at 200,000, you bring the oil sample into the dealer and you say, look, this is what's happening, this is what they're saying is happening. He's going to tell you there's nothing wrong. Okay, then you're going to bring it back again 100,000 miles later and it's still going to have the same issue. If something does go wrong, you have a real good legal standing to go back and say, well, let me see if I'll bring this to my lawyer and say, look, you refuse to fix these things when I told you there was something wrong, and now the engine's blown at 502,000 miles because I'm outside the warranty, right?
Right.
But you go back in and they cave right away because they have no leg. They can't do anything about it. So it really,
and we actually see that a lot. I mean, a lot of times we've seen warranty issues where you really wouldn't have known anything was going on with the engine, whether it's glycol intrusion or fuel intrusion or high metals or whatever it's been. But without the oil analysis, many, many times we wouldn't have known there was a problem.
Right, and the other piece of it is when you figure out what you want your oil change to be, let's say it's 18,000 or 15,000 miles, when you change the oil without taking a sample, you really don't know what the engine health was at that time. So if you go and the oil cycle, when it starts out, it's going to stay fairly clean, then starts to degrade more, it gets more contaminated, and then it dives off to where it's ineffective. It's not going to do you any good, and that's where you start to do damage. But if you use a system, even the ones we mentioned before, I mean, if you use ours or any of those, and you filter no solids out, the oil itself will last a lot longer, and that arc, that turn in the curve, isn't there. So if you miss 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 miles between a filter change, you're not doing any damage because the oil's clean. So now you look at the return on investment on your initial investment for the vehicle. Just think, let's say you can go 1,000,000 miles with the engine, but let's say you can go 1,000,002 now because you kept the oil cleaner. Well, look at that money you're saving for that extra 2 years.
Yeah, it's 2 years of running.
Right.
I mean, it's a long time. The
right.
other thing I've seen with the standard 15,000-mile throw the oil away, put new oil in, and no analysis is, if we have a fuel intrusion, and it could be fairly minor, no other indication that we're going to know of, we're never going to catch it. It's going to go on for a long time, and what happens is that fuel gets in, the fuel's diluting the oil, and we never know it. And in the meantime, we're doing damage to the engine because the oil isn't effective anymore.
Correct. And here's something else you have to think about. I mean, I'm not saying that these shops are dishonest, okay? But there's no benefit to them to, when they're draining the oil, to make sure that they've drained 11 gallons. If they drain 5 gallons, put the plug back in and put fresh oil up on the top until you're done, you're on your way out, do you really know?
Hey,
or,
speaking
or
of which, I wanted to bring this up because this was in a forum that I was reading. Somebody on one of their first samples, they only had 11,500 miles on the oil, and they came back with a TBN of 2.98, and they couldn't figure out why.
Right. I saw that one today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I was thinking, wow, what's going on with that engine? I mean, that sounds horrible.
Well, actually, there is something happening, and I sent an email to that gentleman just about 2 hours ago, and I think one of the things he has to look at is the turbo, because as the oil goes through that turbo, it's in there for a very short period of time, or it's supposed to be, but if there's some kind of restriction, the oil stays in for just a little bit longer, and it heats up, and it actually will take the additive package and deplete the potency of the chemical. Even though the chemical's still there, it's been heated, and it doesn't have the same effect anymore. So that could be one of those reasons. And I'm hoping, I did email him before, I'm hoping he's going to have that check to see if the flow's going the right way. Because everything else was fine. He didn't have any soot issues. He didn't have any wear metal issues to speak of. You know, and the only thing that can be is it could be glycol, but he didn't have any potassium or sodium, because that will lead up to some of that additive package too, some of that TBN. But, you know, and for all you know, he may not have got the oil changed the last time. They may have told him they changed it, but didn't. Just put half of it in.
And I was reading in here, I guess he talked to, I'm not sure if it was Art or Artie.
He talked to Art Cooper, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it true that you guys have done some tests on brand new oil from bulk oil and found that it doesn't look like it's all that great?
Well, what I think he's misinterpreting something. In terms of the TBN number, when you buy the oil and you look at the spec sheet, it may say that it's an 11 or a 12 on the TBN scale, but the oil companies include phosphorus in their calculation as a base. Okay, but the sample companies do not, because it's actually in there as a detergent. So they don't include the phosphorus chemicals as an additive. So if you take one that's supposed to be a 12 and you put it and you do fresh oil, it's going to be between an 8 and a 9 in the TBN scale. It's not going to be 11 and 12. So even if you start, when it says 2.9, you're starting at an 8 and they say 25% is when you have to change it. So it really should be a 2, you know, not 2% of 25% of 12, you know what I'm saying?
Got it. Okay. So we do go by the 25% of what it should be.
Right, what it should be. So that's what they do. They go by the 8, which I think if anything under 2.8, they tell them to go ahead and change it in most cases, because that's pretty close to 8 times. Now, the other thing that happens, Kevin, is, you know, every once in a while we'll get a guy and I'll say, look, your viscosity is in the 30 weight range. He goes, well, I'm using 40 weight oil. I said, I'm telling you, everything you have here is showing it's 30 weight, and you've had 30 weight all along. And he went back to the facility and found out that the whole time they were putting 30 weight oil in and charging him for 40 weight.
Yeah, you know, that's always bothered me about bulk oil. I mean, especially because when I do oil changes, I normally will use some sort of a premium oil. I mean,
right.
Whether it's synthetic or a synthetic blend or even just a better oil than you know, the average. I try to use, you know, the premium oils, and I always wonder, you know, I know I'm paying for it, but it's coming out of a barrel somewhere in a hose. How do I really know what I'm getting?
Right, especially when you go to those shops and they got 3 or 4 hoses hanging from the ceiling, and the guy just grabs one and puts it in. He don't really, you know, does he really know which one that is? You know,
that's what I've always wondered. And then I, you know, so I really prefer to kind of see, well, with you know, the control I have at my shop using the same shop now, I know what I'm getting. But they do mine out of jugs because I do synthetics, so they don't even keep it there in bulk.
Right.
So I can see what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting. I had a call last night, and we were kind of getting towards the end of the show, and I don't remember the exact details of what was going on, but he had his oil changed, and it was a John Deere oil.
Right.
And Lisa sent over the specs while I was on the call, and I didn't have a chance to read them. But after I got off the call and the show was over and I was reading the specs, I was a little concerned because of the API rating on this stuff. It looked to me like the API was back in like the 1998 range for engines.
It could well be. Did it have a C in it? Did it have the C?
Let me see if she just sent it over. The API ratings on it for diesel were CH4, CG4, CF4,
right, the C
CF.
means at least it's commercial. So you're okay there, okay? So you know it's commercial oil, so it's made for a truck, okay? And it should be CJ by now. So if it's CH or CF, it's way back there, and it's probably been sitting on a shelf somewhere. I would think that the John Deere oil is made more for a farm tractor than an over-the-road tractor, which has totally different stresses on it. So I don't know whether I would use that, but I think Lisa had asked me a question this morning about, do I know who's making that oil for him? Because obviously John Deere is not making that oil. And
well,
I directed her to the lab in Indianapolis, Polaris, because they can look at the additive package and give them a pretty good guess. So I sent her the information to call over to the lab there. I don't know whether she did or not, but they could tell by the additive package if it's a Shell or a Mobil or whatever.
That was kind of what I said, was that I knew John Deere wasn't making the oil and we could probably talk to the lab and figure it out. And then when I got off and I went because I couldn't even remember some of these API ratings, and I went back and looked them up, and the most current that they're showing on here was for a 1998 engine.
Yeah, because I can send you that chart. As a matter of fact, I'll email it over to Lisa while we're talking here. That gives you all those specs and the years and everything that's on there. So I've got
in
my system here.
And my guess was, like you said, this was probably, you know, this oil is formulated for farm equipment, and maybe they, even if the oil's brand new, they may just not have, you know, upgraded to the newer API specs.
Well, I'm guessing it probably has a lot more ash in it than it should and everything else, so I don't know what I would use it for that, but.
Yeah. What do you say we take some calls?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Let's see. Let's head off to Baltimore. Michael, welcome to the program.
Steph, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just purchased the OPS system, and I'm getting it put on to Marvel, but I have a question. I also purchased the sample kit before I want to take a test before I put on an OPS system. But
that's entirely up to you. You don't have to do that, but if you want to see the condition of the engine when you're starting, you might want to do that from the oil you're taking out. That's up to you.
All right, but I already had took a sample, and then I forgot to send it in, so I had it sitting there for almost a week and a half now. Would that affect the sample?
A week and a half shouldn't be that bad, as long as it wasn't kept anywhere where there's a lot of moisture or a lot of heat. As long as it was in some place that wasn't in excessive heat or a lot of moisture, it should still be okay.
All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Hey, Tom, is that something that would be worth noting on the sample form when you send it in?
Actually, I think on the bottom there it says somewhere to mail it immediately or something like that, but we could add something like that to it.
Okay.
So put on... All right, so I had it sitting around for about a week and a half.
Yeah, you'd be okay to send it in.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Speaking of which, Tom, and again, the more involved I get in trying to help people with their oil sample reports, the more I see how important it is to get really good information on that form. What are the things that people should really be paying attention to when they fill out that form?
Okay, first, they should always make sure that whatever name they put on, they put the same name every time they send it into the lab. Whatever unit number they use, they should put the same unit number. And if they change to another vehicle, change the unit number because you're going to have different history for that. Always make sure you put down the amount of miles that's on the engine since it's been rebuilt or new and how many miles are on the oil. Without those things, they can't determine whether the oil, because they do it by parts per million per 1,000 miles, when they look at the chart to see if it's out of the range. And if you say there's 15,000 miles on the oil, there's 190,000 miles on the oil, obviously you may have a little bit iron, say 25 or 30, which would be more than normal. But if you say it was 15,000, then it may be excessive. So you just got to make sure that's correct. And, of course, you have to tell them exactly what oil you're using. It's not just Shell Rotella. It's Shell Rotella T. It's Shell Rotella T synthetic 20%. It's Shell Rotella T full synthetic. Because each one of those has different additive packages, and they're looking at the parameters of the additive package to make sure that you're in the right range.
Probably the biggest problem that I see is people not getting the mileages correct.
That's right. They put down whatever it was from the last time that they changed the filter. They say it was only 15,000, so it's only 15,000. You know, it's 15,000 less than I changed it, or 25,000 less than I changed it. So I'm just going to put that down. Or the engine was rebuilt. The engine was rebuilt 50,000 miles ago, and they're putting 600,000 miles on it. Well, you know, if you're 50,000 miles ago, you're going to be getting break-in wear metals, and they're going to think that something's definitely wrong with the engine. It's failing because it shouldn't be having that kind of fatigue wear at that time in the engine. So it's important to put that down.
Looking at the form, especially if you haven't been doing it before, I can see how it can be somewhat confusing. The thing to keep in mind is that the mileages that they're looking for are total miles on the engine or from an in-frame, from a major rebuild, and total miles on the oil. I mean, that's really what we're trying to get to.
Correct.
All right. Let's take another call. Let's go to Victor in Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, fellas. I had a transmission. I got a result back today, and it had severity 1. And I think Lisa probably emailed it over to you, and I just wanted to see if you could tell me. Well, I didn't know exactly what the miles was on one of the Senecas. Couldn't find them from last year, or I keep all my miles and stuff down and all my changes. But it had about 28,000 miles on the oil, so...
Okay, now, unfortunately, I'm not an expert on the transmission wear metals, so I don't know how much I can tell you, but I can tell you you're getting some sand in there, which probably doesn't belong there. It looks like you had 700,000 miles on the transmission. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, 700 and probably 704 or 5. I took the sample, something like that.
Okay. And this is probably... 90 weight oil, I would guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you didn't put down the manufacturer or what kind of oil it was, so they really couldn't determine the additive package for you. But it does say that just that little bit of dirt that's in there, that's all I really can tell you on this here. And 228 on the iron is parts per million. It's not even highlighted as something that's wrong. You understand?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, even though that's the highest number you have on the report, it's not even out of the normal range. So I'm assuming that they checked it against that transmission at Eaton 10 speed.
Well, I had a high copper the last time, and they were concerned about that. I called Eaton and talked to them, and they said, go ahead and sample it again. And I sampled once before, but I never could get anything back. I sent it in and never did get anything back. I don't know if I got lost or what. But
well, it looks
anyhow,
like
this time.
There's five samples on here. Are all these transmission samples?
There ought to be two transmission, and then I think the rest of them are rear ends other than the motor.
Okay.
I set the differentials every 6 months and transmission every 6 months.
Okay. Well, even when you have them highlighted, they're still highlighted as a normal. It's just that it's on the higher end of the, you know, getting into the abnormal range, but they're still okay.
Okay. That's all I was worried about. I was hoping maybe it wasn't that copper again.
No, actually the copper this time was 99, last time was 147, so it's coming down. You know, it could be, you know, that the copper comes from the bearings, I can tell you that. And, you know, the transmission has quite a few bearings in there, so, but it is coming down. And it actually was 228, 227, so I can't tell which one's the rear and which one's the transmission because it's not highlighted on here.
Would you recommend changing oil because of the silicone or the sand?
What do you normally run? I mean, you normally run in the deserts or?
I run from York, Pennsylvania to Kansas City, and then about every 2 weeks I run from Kansas City out west either.
No, I wouldn't worry. As long as you're not going off-road, you know, you're doing mining, that kind of stuff, picking up at mining facilities, I wouldn't worry about that. That's fine. I mean, that transmission oil is something I don't even change that ever.
Just I sure appreciate your help.
All right, you got it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Matt in Georgia. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
All right, Matt. Hey,
I'm going to keep this short because it's probably not for Tom Craig and have a lot of oil questions. But speaking of the John Deere stuff there, when we were talking a month ago or so about, you know, with the emission laws and all that and how, you know, having your free market and all that and we should leave the government out of it, that's, you know, John Deere hasn't had to update the oil because they haven't had all these changes to their engines.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right, they don't have to fix it. It's off-road equipment.
Yep, and I'll make it my homework project to figure out some details for you in a couple of weeks here, but the guy I farm for just bought a new combine this year, and it's amazing how many improvements are on the machines, and the engine is actually smaller with more horsepower and all that. That, you know, just because on the free market they've been spending their time on improving stuff instead of meeting laws.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Something you don't want to do. You don't want to get caught with that fuel that they have that has the red to it. So, make sure
no,
you stay away from
but
that.
I mean, it's pretty close to the same fuel anyway nowadays. But
well, it has to.
I'll do some research on it, and I'll call that on a weekend show to get some comments on it. But
that sounds good.
The main reason I called is I've had my OPS for 3 years, and I'm just figuring my cost here year to date is at about half a cent a mile, and that includes all of my filters, my grease, and everything.
Wow.
And that's at 130,000 miles for the year, so 8 services. And I guess I don't know if it's been so long, but I figured at $225 if you were having a full service done. I don't know if that's low or high nowadays, but that's a cent and a half a mile. The difference between $1,800 year-to-date and the $700 that I've spent.
So you definitely paid for it. It's definitely paid for itself, didn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's buying everything in bulk. I mean, if we went to complete pack year, I really only bought 6 gallons of oil this year. Everything else, the filters and all that, I buy your Christmas special. And so technically this year I've only spent 250, but I figured in my full cost of oil I've added and the sample kit.
You know, the great thing about it is your cost went down, so we're saving the difference, and it's just a better system. Normally, we figure to get a better system, we have to spend more. The great thing here is it's better for the engine, we have the oil analysis going on, and we're spending less. I mean, it really is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, and to speak of the oil analysis, I had 746,000 miles on my engine when I had it in-frame, and I'm just about that right now on my in-frame. And with, you know, 3 years, I got over 300,000 miles of oil samples. I swear to God, this engine, you know, the in-frame will last over a million because it's so clean-looking, you know, very low wear metals.
That's almost backwards. You know, we expect to get the million out of the original engine, and then if we could do 600,000 or 700,000 on an in-frame, we'd be doing really good. Yours has been opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, my original in-frame, I had a head gasket go, and I didn't catch it right away because I didn't do oil sampling, and they were doing 2 piston kits anyway. And at that kind of mileage, you know, they recommended
them
at all. And I kind of thought, well, I'm already paying all the labor, I might as well just add the parts.
Yeah, that made sense. But it's good to see how long it's going this time.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, I don't, whether it's OPS or whatever, I don't know why anybody wouldn't run some type of bypass system.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Hey, we got to move along. I see we got a bunch of questions here. Let's go to Jacksonville. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello there, Kevin.
Hello there.
How are you guys tonight?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
You brought up that API thing, and that reminded me, and I don't know if the question ever got answered or if I just missed it, but a year or so ago, y'all were talking about the Walmart.
The Walmart Tech Oil?
Yeah, the heavy duty.
Yeah.
And it is a CF.
Right.
Is the API that's on it.
Right. And the CF, I just pulled it up here so I can tell you. The CF is still current. It was introduced in 1994 for off-road injected diesel engines, including fuel with over 0.5% sulfur. It can be used in place of CD oils. So in reality, I don't know if I would put that in anything that needs the CJ or the low sulfur fuel.
But if I've got like a 9760 series,
then
that's probably what
that's
what
you could use for sure. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it got to 1 million miles before they ever come out with the CJ. So
right.
That's a pretty good price on that. The 530, just use that in the wintertime, you think?
Yep, that'd be fine.
Okay. And
give Lisa, when you get off, if you can give Lisa your email address, I can email you this guide, this API guide. Or actually, you can just go to apicj-4.org.
Okay.
And you'll get the guide all the way up to the CJ oils and explains what's for gasoline engines, what's for diesel engines. If it's not for diesel engines, obviously you don't want to use it.
Yeah. Well, that's what... Yeah, I heard you could use it, and then somebody said, no, you couldn't, and I was looking at the bottle, and all I could find was a CF rating.
Right.
So, but seeing as I got the older engine without the EGR.
As long as you got an engine that can use, you know, over 0.5% sulfur, you're okay. Because the reason for that is there's a lot of sulfur in the oil.
Okay, well, I don't know that that's going to hurt anything.
No. As long as you keep the water out of the equation, you won't get the acid. That's the key.
Okay. Oh, Kevin, on another subject, you were talking about the dual-purpose Optima batteries. It's the yellow top ones of the dual-purpose.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
What is the what's the deep cycle then? The pure
deep
cycle.
That'd be the blue one.
The blue one.
The blue one. And my battery guy said there really aren't any difference between them and the yellow ones except for the terminals on top, but I don't know if he really knew what he was talking about. He said the red ones are different.
Okay. The red is the it leans more towards the cold cranking amps, I think.
Yeah, just for starting them.
Okay. Got
but
it.
That,
okay.
That was about all I had. If you hadn't mentioned the API, I would have just listened instead.
Well, I'm glad you jumped in.
Pushing in. So, y'all have a good evening. Thanks again for all you do.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Alberta this time. Harold, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. Just a question here for Tom. On those batteries, yeah, you're right. The red top is the starting. The blue is the deep cycle. The yellow is the dual cycle battery. But anyway, on the Evans, Tom, like I'm running oil analysis, have for the last 30 years. I've talked to Polaris here in Edmonton, but I really didn't get any satisfaction when I was talking to them. What do I need to look for with the Evans? Because I run heavy, 130,000 plus is what I gross out at.
Are you talking about the Evans coolant? Are you talking about the Evans coolant?
Yes, the Evans coolant in my analysis.
Okay.
What do I need to look for other than like with the basic glycol? We had sodium and potassium. We'd look for.
I wish I could answer your question. I don't know the answer to that. Kevin, did you speak with them about what their chemical is that's in there? What the salt is? There's got to be some kind of salt that they use to carry the the glycol with it.
Yeah, you know what I did, and I when I had her, they're going to be on a show with us soon, and we'll get this answered. And the problem is I don't have my notes in front of me, and I spent so long with her on the phone. We were talking about coolant analysis at the time. And, with oil analysis, I've been doing it long enough that I'm pretty comfortable with it. There's certainly still more I could learn. But when it came to coolant analysis, I'm clueless. I've never even looked at one. And I had her on the phone, and she knew so much about coolant that I must have asked her 30 questions, and I can't remember what the answer to that particular question was. Her name is Elizabeth Nelson. She's going to be on the show with us a week from today, November 18th. And we'll be talking about coolant analysis and some other things. But she had the answer to that question, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, I think the one thing you need to do, though, is make sure that you put on the sample report form that you're using Evans coolant. Just write it right across it so they see it.
Right.
Because if a chemical comes up that they're not aware of, let's say it's boron that they're using, and it spikes up and it's not supposed to be in the oil, they don't know where it came from. But they'll say it's something wrong with the oil, or they'll think you're mixing oil, when in reality you could have a coolant leak.
Okay, no, I was just curious. I mean, my analysis are still coming back. I mean, like I say, I've got almost 750,000 miles on this engine now. And I mean everything is coming in pretty well in line. The TBN's running about 5.5, 5.7. All the rest of the numbers are all nothing's higher than 20 on any of the wear metals. The coolant is zero. Or, I mean, the fuel dilution zero, water zero. The soot is like 0.01. So I mean it's burning everything. It's clean. I've got nothing weird happening. I'm just wondering if there's something in this Evans that I need to look for, that in case it does start to leak.
We'll get that answer for you. I mean, Kevin can talk to them, and if not, if when you come in March to the Mid-America Truck Show, they're going to be there with us. I think they're in the booth right next to us, so we'll be able to help you together.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Oklahoma. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, fellas. I'm going to go back to this API thing again with a real quick question. My 2006 engine, when it came out, was recommended to use a CI oil.
CI or CJ? Either one also works.
CI is, okay, that was my question. Should I continue to use the CI? Should I switch to the CJ at some point or just continue with the CI?
Well, the CI is going to disappear eventually, okay?
Okay.
Because they're making the CJ is what they're making now, but the CI was introduced in 2006 for the diesel engines, and then right after that they put in the CJ. So as long as that CI is still available, I mean, in 2002, the CI4 was in 2002, and then the CJ4 was in 2006.
Right.
So as long as it's available and your engine says you can use it, then go right ahead.
Okay.
But once that runs out, just go to CJ. You can always go up. You don't want to go down. You don't want to go to F or E or something like that. Actually, E is now obsolete. They don't even make it anymore.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not going to hurt anything with the CI then.
No. As long as your engine manufacturer says it's there. I mean, to be honest with you, some of the major fleets that we deal with, when they went from CI to CJ and they raised the price to CJ, they just said they're going to use all the CI until it's gone. They never even put the CJ in it. The CJ is supposed to be there to help the keep the soots in suspension better and keep the diesel particulates out of the stack. That's what they're there for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Wasn't there a CI Plus or something in there?
Yeah, CI 4 Plus. That's what's kind of like in the middle of those two things,
Yeah, got it. Okay. You know, I know at one time they were, when they first came out, I think this would have been with the DPF engines, 2008. They had first come out, the engine manufacturers were saying it was an absolute, you had to use CJ.
Right.
And then I think they backed off of that and said it was recommended.
Well, I think there was two reasons why they recommended that. I think it's because there wasn't enough CJ out there at the time. So they said, go ahead and use the CI. And then the people, they were using the CI 4 Plus, which is just about as close to the CJ 4 as you can get. They just decided to just stay with it because it was a lot cheaper.
Got it. Okay. Let's go to Illinois. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing good. What can we help you with tonight?
Actually, I just wanted to make a few comments because I've read the forums, too, and there's a lot of people arguing about this, that, and the other, and a lot of people, I'm sure, out there are unsure about these filtration systems. I took a break from the trucking industry and went to work in the oil field as a mechanic on the drilling rigs. And they've been using centrifuge oil cleaning system for years, and oil sampling, and anyway, it might help if you explain the bypass part of it, because I was trying to talk a guy into it that's leased on the same company I'm at, and he didn't understand at all what bypass meant. And other than that, what I really like about it is my engine's running really clean. I've actually got the OPS ordered. It's not here yet, but I've already gotten 22,000 miles out of it, just a straight standard oil change with good samples. So, but what I'm going to like about it is instead of having to start over with my wear metals on a traditional oil change, I'll be able to keep track of it just, for 100,000, however long the oil lasts.
Correct. Well, you know, that's the other thing. I know there are some people who use oil analysis even though they're doing 15,000-mile changes. And I'd certainly rather see that than not doing it. But you don't get that history because you keep taking the oil out. It's still going to be good for picking up, fuel intrusion or coolant intrusion or things like that. But it really is valuable when you can see the history on oil over extended periods of time, what's going on with it.
Yeah, especially on your wear metals.
Yeah.
Because I bought a used truck with 890 miles, so I'm really trying to keep good records so I can tell when I might need to plan out an in-frame.
Yeah, it's good information. Tom, we didn't really get into detail on that, I guess. The difference between, you know, full flow filters and why we would call, you know, the system a bypass filter or something along those lines.
Okay, I can explain it pretty quickly. The full flow filter runs at a rate of usually around 120 gallons per hour. And that the reason for that is you got to keep it circulating so that it gets a chance to cool back off, and it's under pressure, and it's going through the engine all the time, okay, through all the galleyways and through all the bearings and everywhere else. So it's 120 gallons an hour for under pressure. So what the bypass does is it takes a certain amount of oil out of the system under pressure, runs it through a filter, and then runs it back into the pan. So it doesn't go through the engine as long as the rest of it, and you can drop it down. We drop it down to anywhere between a gallon and a half to 2 gallons an hour, so that in the course of an eight-hour day, you're theoretically have turned your pan over at least one time. And the reason we slow it down that much is so that we want to make sure that as it goes through the filter, it's not running at a rate where it's going to become like a drill and drill a hole through the filter element, which happens in some of the paper filters. It'll actually, you know, punch a hole through it because it's under so much pressure and it's going so quickly, like a bullet, it'll go right through it. So we slow it down, and it also gives it time for the oil to go through the evaporator so that the water and the oil will separate and allow it to evaporate off. So ours is about a gallon and a half to 2 gallons an hour. Some of the yellow ones maybe 4 or 5 gallons an hour, depending on how they operate. But again, they're absorbing water rather than evaporating it.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what, we blew right through the hour. We've got just a couple minutes left. Why don't you give out some of the pricing, the financing, and a phone number? We never did that.
Okay, first on the system, the EcoPure system, it's $685.50. You're going to get 3 filters. You're going to get 2 oil sample kits and 2 mailers and the shipping and handling. You can break that down into 5 payments of $137.10, which would be the day we ship it, and then the last business day of the next 4 months. That gives you enough for about 75,000 miles worth of supplies, and so it usually pays for itself before those 75,000 miles are up. In terms of filters to replenish, the 10-inch filters come in a 5-pack. It's $320.50, 5 filters, 5 sample kits, 5 mailers, and the shipping and handling. $291.75 for 8-inch filters, and then $284.25 for the 6-inch filters. If you're looking at the conversion head, it's $99.75 for the head, which has the sampling valve right on it, so you don't have to worry about draining anything out. You can just take the oil sample right on there. And, of course, you'd be buying the EcoPure filters with it at the same time, so you can make your pack up together. And to order these things, any of these items here, or the old OPS filters are $423 for a 10-pack. You get 10 filters, 10 sample kits, and 10 mailers if you're still using the OPS one. And the shipping and handling is $423.10. You can order them from Artie, and his number is 203-346-1832. But I wouldn't call him until tomorrow morning because he was at the UConn-Pittsburgh game and Connecticut won 30-28, so I'm pretty sure he's still partying.
Ah, he's out celebrating, huh?
He's out celebrating. They came back in the last quarter to score 10 points to win it.
Got it. Okay, but he'll be there tomorrow.
He will be there tomorrow morning waiting for your calls.
What's that number one more time?
It's 203-346-1832.
Fantastic. And as always, thanks for coming on and sharing the information with us.
Thank you for having me, Kev.
All right. We will do this again real soon. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. The live show's coming up on SiriusXM in just about 30 minutes. So we'll see you then. We'll be back here tomorrow night. As far as I know right now, tomorrow night will be open phone lines. We'll be doing a recorded hour, I think, during the podcast tomorrow night. So anything goes, questions and answers. So join us for that tomorrow night. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.